strong, if you would, return with me to Matthew chapter 7. We only got through one point of a three-point sermon this morning. So we're going to return to Matthew chapter 7. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with stopping sometimes early and picking it back up later. I think we can do sometimes damage to a text when we try to jam too much. And there's really nothing wrong with going back. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of the same things continuously. And I know that's true the older I get, and I think it'll be even truer the older and older I get, if God allows me. But I know that's true in my own Christian life. The things I've heard since childhood, I still hear, and I still need to hear them over and over again. But if you would, return with me to Matthew chapter 7. We'll pick up our pericope. You'll remember we were looking at verses 1 through 6, really 1 through 7, but 7's way down the line now. We're going to pick up in 1 through 6 again. I remind you that what is being read to you is the very Word of God, and it would serve us well to pay it careful attention this evening. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. Here ends the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Amen. We'll pick it up here in verse 6. I remind you that we summarized this text this morning this way. Jesus calls his covenant people to a lifestyle marked by humility, discernment, and dependence. Jesus calls his covenant people to a lifestyle marked by humility, discernment, and dependence. We are to judge, we learned this morning, but only with humility and after first judging ourselves. We are to share the gospel, as we will see, but with discernment, guarding against profaning it. And we are to pray unceasingly, confidently, and expectantly. As members of God's covenant family, we must judge with humility, guard what is holy with discernment, and depend daily on the grace of our Father. If you like a shorter version, consider verses 1 through 5 as humility and judgment. Verse 6, discernment in what we offer. And in verse 7, dependence through prayer. We'll consider this evening discernment in what we offer. Having warned against one kind of error, if you will, hypercritical judgment, as we saw this morning, Jesus immediately in this text warns against the opposite error. Being undiscerning with righteous and holy things of the Lord. Verse 6 really might appear in many ways as a disconnected proverb, but it actually complements the previous teaching of the morning. Jesus, after telling us not to condemn our brethren, Jesus tells us here not to profane holy things or waste godly wisdom on those who will only despise it. Let me say that again. After telling us to excuse me, after telling us not to condemn our brethren, Jesus tells us not to profane holy things or waste godly wisdom on those who will only despise it. You see, there's a balance. There's a balance in the Christian life. There's a balance in the way God would like to conduct ourselves as those redeemed by His only begotten Son, as the Spirit of God applies the Word of God, the truth of God to our hearts, and changes us from the inside out. And that's exactly what the Sermon on the Mount does. Christ is talking to those around Him, or preaching to those around them in this sermon, and He's seeking to change people from the inside out. And we serve a supernatural God that does just that. Think about how marvelous that truth is. God takes us from death to life. He changes us from our hearts to our actions. And He's telling us here in this text that we should be discerning in how we handle the truth of God. There's a balance to the Christian life. He's saying, I don't want you to be censorious, but Jesus is really effectively saying, but neither do I want you to be fools. Remember, we said simpletons this morning. Let's start to unpack this just a little bit. We read, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs. Do not give dogs what is holy, and don't throw your pearls before pigs. This is really a vivid double metaphor of sorts. And it would have been startling to Jesus' Jewish hearers here. You see, in biblical times, dogs were not pampered pets. They were usually wild, scavenging animals. They're all over Africa, all over India. You don't walk up and pet dogs in Africa. You don't walk up and look into a little baby carriage and see a dog dressed with a bonnet. Have you ever seen that around here? Yes, you have. You don't see that in Africa and India. In fact, you're told clearly, stay away from the dogs. Stay away. If they bite you, scratch you, or whatever, you could end up with rabies. Now, we already take a lot of shots to go overseas. I don't want to come home and take rabies shots in addition to those things. And Jesus, His audience would have heard this. They would understand that dogs weren't pampered pets. They were wild. They were scavenging animals. You see, to the Jews, dogs were unclean. And often symbols for what was impure or profane. Pigs, likewise, were the epitome of uncleanness, right? No Jew would keep swine, and swine were associated with idolaters, Gentiles, or with those utterly outside the covenant community. Nobody would be eating bacon. What a shame. I don't know about you, but I like bacon. Bacon helps anything. But to the original audience here, when they heard pigs, immediately they understood what was being said. That which was unclean, nobody would be associated with idolatrous Gentiles or with those utterly outside the covenant. Now, what is holy? What is holy here in this text, I think, likely refers to consecrated food from the temple sacrifices. Sacred meat that only priests or worshipers would eat. You see that in Leviticus 22. No Israelite would ever take sacrificial meat, holy food, if you would, and toss it to a yard dog. That would be a gross act of disrespect toward God. Likewise, nobody would take or cast beautiful pearls, costly jewels, And here they're really symbolizing precious truths of God. Before filthy pigs. The pigs would neither appreciate their value nor be able to eat them. They would only, what? Trample them in the mud. Do not give to dogs what is holy. And do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. Discernment in what we offer. Consider a Christian who continually tries to share the gospel with an old college friend. That old college friend only mocks, insults Christ, and intentionally twists every conversation. Have you ever had a conversation with someone like that about the Lord? The old college friend with the old college try, right? Over and over again, you seek to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them, only to be met with resistance. And they seem to twist everything you say within the conversation. I had friends like this in high school. Now, it's not a stretch for you to imagine I wasn't the perfect high schooler by any means. It's not difficult for you, I'm sure. But I did know the Lord, and more importantly, the Lord knew me and was doing something within me. And even when I was misbehaving, I look back at my life. Conversations often return to, why do you guys go to church every Sunday? Why do you guys have to go to Sunday school? You know, we could do things on Saturday night with friends, but my mother would either come and pick us up early in the morning for Sunday school, or if we refused not to do that, we weren't allowed to go. We weren't allowed to sleep in on Sundays with the majority of our friends. Now, I say all that for this reason. I look back now, and even in some of the oddest places and in the middle of doing things perhaps I shouldn't do, Jesus always came up somehow, some way. And the question as to why we attended church and why we went to Sunday school and what we thought the Lord about the Lord always came up. And it seemed, this is bad English, but let's do it this way. It seemed the badder we got, the more Christ came to the surface in each conversation. But I remember one young man, I see him from time to time, not as much. But he was one of those guys that were always bringing up the question just to be a smart aleck. Just to be snide about things. And he would ask those questions about, why do you go to church? What do you think about Jesus? If God exists, couldn't God make a rock so big that he couldn't lift it? You know, all those silly, silly arguments. Why do you waste your time? Etc., etc. Over and over and over again. I'm sure you've had that same experience. After months of effort, really after summers of effort, it only left me discouraged. It only left me discouraged, and I'm sure it would leave you discouraged too. You see, what Jesus is reminding us here in this text this evening is this. He's reminding us that it's okay, and sometimes it's even necessary to step back and stop offering pearls to swine. To step back, if you will, and to take a moment, and instead of continuing to argue or have a battle of wits with an unarmed individual, to step back and commit that person to prayer. It's okay sometimes. And it's hard. But you see why verses 1 through 5 are so important now. That we have the right spirit in our discernment in the judgments we make. that we first examine ourselves and repent of our own sin and remove the logs from our own eyes. Because God has called us, if you will, to a task that can only be accomplished by His good grace and mercy in our lives. And that's to be discerning with each other. Remember we said this morning, it's not about letting sawdust in another man's eye. No, we're not to do that either. We're to love each other so much that we're willing to get into the mess of life and wrestle around. I have a friend, and he's a southerner, which makes no sense to me because I'm a northerner, which you all know now just by my behavior right here, right now. But he says this to me all the time. He says, we ought to be able to disagree, bloody each other's nose, and then go get a cup of coffee. Now, right away, people are offended by that, right? I come from a place of alleys. We were often sent to the alley. We had alleys. That's where you went to deal with things. And usually somebody would come back with a bloody nose. Or at least crying. And you know what? I look back today and I'm so thankful that I was taken to alleys. Because that's life. We get into mess. Life is messy. It's difficult. There's a lot going on. And we who are in Christ Jesus ought to be a people who desire to get into the mess with each other. But we need to do it in the right frame of mind like we said today. And we need to be discerning. And it's okay. You can take me to the alley. You can bloody my nose. Just don't take me for coffee. Take me for pizza. I don't like coffee. But I love pizza. Okay? But I hope that you start to cultivate a sense of culture and community here just like that. It's okay. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to even argue if you argue in the right sense and in the right spirit. But remember what you're seeking. First and foremost, you're seeking the glory of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Not to be right. Not to be right. You know, the older I get, the more I think I'm right, the more I see I'm wrong. Do you have that problem? You start to pull a thread in a situation or a problem. And it's like a ball of yarn, isn't it? It's like, and then all of a sudden you have this mess and you're like, well, I thought it was kind of easy, cut and dry, but it's really not cut and dry. And what about this and what, right? And you go on and on. That's when we need to fall on our knees and ask for that discerning spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that we would remove the log from our eyes before we reach for specks. But Jesus moves on here, as I said, and he's saying sometimes when we share spiritual truths, okay, when we're sharing the truth of God's word with someone, sometimes they become hardened to it. And I think this happens even when we seek to remove specks from each other's eyes. We see the true nature of someone's heart, the wrestle eternally within an individual. How many of you like to be wrong? Don likes to be wrong all the time. No, he doesn't. Don doesn't like to be wrong. Dave, you don't like to be wrong, right? Your opinion, you want your opinion to matter. How many times a day are you actually wrong? Anybody? Let me ask your wives. Careful, gentlemen. Right? Oh, he's never wrong. I was raised with all boys, had all females. I found out I knew nothing once I had females. I knew absolutely nothing. I was wrong all the time. I learned how to, it was okay. But none of us like to be wrong, do we? None of us like to have our opinion downplayed. You know, situations occur providentially in our lives to show us what's still ugly in our own hearts. And it doesn't excuse something else that's ugly. That's not what Jesus is saying here, right? It's saying, don't forget to address yourself. And it's all right to admit you don't know everything. It's okay. That's a wise man. But Jesus again is telling you, you're not a simpleton. Even I'm not a simpleton, Jim. By the grace of God, Jim thinks I'm a simpleton. No, he really doesn't. I love Jim. I love him. God has given us minds and He's given us hearts, but more than that, He's given us His Word and He's given us His Spirit. And He tells us to think and to rationalize through the truth of God's Word and be discerning. And sometimes it's okay to walk away. Sometimes it is okay to walk away. Sometimes it's all right not to get bloody. Sometimes you've been bloodied so much you need to walk away. But look at what God's telling us here. He's not telling us to walk away and forget about the pigs or the dogs. Or to walk away with a superior attitude over the pigs and the dogs, if you will. He's telling us, or he's instructing us, and he's telling us it's okay to walk away and what do what? Commit that to prayer. Ask, seek, and knock. It's coming. It's coming. Prayer is the central driving force in the life of the believer and the community of believers within the church. Now think about how much we have to grow in our prayer lives. We get together and pray. I was a pastor for a total of 20-some years. Prayer meetings drove me nuts. I was the pastor. I can look around the room. Can't do it here. I can with some of you. I can look around the room and name everyone in the room and say, I know what problem you have. Why don't we pray about that? No prayer request. Someone would hang their head in this corner. Their life is absolutely falling apart, but no prayer in front of God's people. Hang your head. Won't share it. Won't admit it. Oh, how our churches would come alive if we would learn to trust each other better, be able to bloody each other up, and then go eat pizza. I mean, really. But sometimes, it's better to put it away and committed to prayer. It doesn't mean forget. It doesn't mean condemn. I hope you're praying like you've never prayed before for this church right now. As I said this morning, you're at a crossroads. Right? You can either grow in Christ-likeness or turn from Christ. Not condemning anyone. But that's reality. That's real. We need to preach real. We need to pray real. And we need to be real with each other. I don't have it all going on. And I already know you don't. Why don't we admit it? You see, we grow in community, don't we? All my friends are 75 plus. All my dearest friends in this world are 75 plus. Why? They make me think. They make me think. Most of them know how to love. Most of them can bloody my nose and I can kick them in their shin and we go and get pizza. And we wrestle and argue together because we have the same goal.
You should all have the same goal right here. The same goal. Now, I don't know about you. I can say anything about my mom and my brothers, but you better not. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how bad you think you are. You know what I'm talking about. I can say anything I want about my mom. Don't you ever say a word about my mom. That's the way we ought to be with each other, though, isn't it? We're people covered, washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and we're a family. Shouldn't we be that way together? Oh, yeah, he's an idiot, but he's my idiot. That's my brother you're talking about. I get it, but maybe you ought to simmer a little bit, right? And then all of a sudden, trust is built. Now I get to know you and you get to know me. And now we're growing in Christ's likeness as we are torn apart by the Word of God and then put back together. Amen? Think about that. Sunday mornings are more textbook. Sunday evenings for me are a little bit more relaxed, as you can tell. But it's all based on the truth. I have 29 pages of notes for 7 verses. We could spend the next 6 months right here in these 7 verses. That's being ripped apart and put back together. And it's so much. So I want to end today with this. I want to encourage you. Today was a rough day. Period. I went home and took a nap. Felt good. But then we woke up and I said, it's time to go back to work. It's time to go back to work, guys. Work first on yourself. Then, trust in the Lord. Pray. And see what God does. I believe He holds great things for you people here. Why? Because my God is an awesome God. He took me and did something with me. Our Father and our God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to change. Enable us, Lord, to be discerning, to understand there are times where it's better for us not to cast the treasures of heaven at the feet of a critical person. But Father, may we never walk away. We're commanded elsewhere to take the gospel everywhere to everyone. And that's true and right. And we do that. But teach us how to eat meat from the Word. Father, some have been drinking milk so long they don't know the difference. Make us men and women of Christ's likeness that want to eat meat. Want to grow in holiness and righteousness and truth and love each other better. But above all else, Lord, glorify You more and more. Guard us, we pray, from a hypocritical spirit. May we always rest and rely on You. For we too are merely sinners. Saved by grace. May we never forget that. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.